Well, good evening. If you would, open your Bibles with me to Psalm 65. Psalm 65. As you're turning, let me tell you how sorry I am we can't be meeting together and have our normal New Year's Eve service, but I feel like it's safe and best for everyone. And we'll look forward here in a couple weeks when we can meet together again. Psalm 65, beginning in verse 1. Praise waiteth for thee, O God in Zion, and unto thee shall the vow be performed. O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. Iniquities prevail against me. As for our transgressions, thou shalt purge them away. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest, and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. We should be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple. By terrible things and righteousness wilt thou answer us, O God of our salvation, who art the confidence of all the ends of the earth, and of them that are far off upon the sea, which by his strength setteth fast the mountains, being girded with power, which stilleth the noise of the seas, the noise of their waves, and the tumult of the people. They also that dwell in the uttermost parts are afraid of thy tokens. Thou makest the outgoings of the morning and evening to rejoice. Thou visitest the earth and waterest it. Thou greatly enrichest it with the river of God, which is full of water. Thou preparest them corn when thou hast so provided for it. Thou waterest the ridges thereof abundantly. Thou settlest the furrows thereof. Thou makest it soft with showers. Thou blessest the springing thereof. Thou crownest the year with thy goodness, and thy paths drop fatness. They drop upon the pastures of the wilderness, and the little hills rejoice on every side. The pastures are clothed with flocks. The valleys also are covered over with corn. They shout for joy. They also sing. Well, thank God for his word. Let's bow together in prayer. Our great Father, great God, and our Heavenly Father, oh, how we thank you that you have crowned the year, this year, with thy goodness. Father, how we thank you for your mercy and your grace to sinners as found in our Lord Jesus Christ. How we thank you for the mercy that you have reserved for your people, not what we've deserved. How thankful we are that you have not given us what we deserve, but that you have covered your people with your mercy and your grace. And Father, we're thankful. And Father, I pray that this evening that you would enable us to worship thee in spirit and in truth, that you would let us put out of our minds the goings-on of this life, the cares, the worries, the joys, all the things of this life. Let us set them aside, Father, for this hour. Speak to us through your word. Speak to our hearts. Comfort our hearts by pointing us to the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us see him afresh as our all and in all. Let the Lord Jesus Christ be all of our hope, the only hope we have, the only hope we desire. Father, bless us as we look into your word, that we might see more of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, we thank you for this year. We thank you for the trials and heartaches and tribulations that have come in it. They've come from thy hand for good. We know this. And we thank you for the joys, the happiness, the smiles that we've had, the blessings. Those have come from thy hand as well. And Father, we're thankful. And Father, we pray as we leave this year and go into the new year, Father, that you would go with us. Go with us as you have gone with your people in the past. Father, continue to bless this place as a place where your word is preached, where Christ is preached. Continue to bless this place as a place where your people have unity, unity of heart and spirit, unity of goals and desires, that this might be a place where our God is worshipped, where the gospel is preached, and where your people gather together in the kind of love and unity that we ought to have around Christ our Savior. And let Him, let Christ our Savior be preeminent in all things. Father, we pray for those who are sick and afflicted, and those who are suffering this virus, and those who are suffering other ailments of the sin that causes so much problems in these bodies. Those who are sick of body and heart and mind and soul, Father, we pray for them. There are so many right now, but Thou art the great physician. You can heal, You can touch, You can lead and guide and deliver. And Father, we pray that You would, in a special way, be with Your people at this time. Now, Father, as we look into Your Word now, we pray Your blessing. Enable us to see the Lord Jesus Christ in all of His glory. For it's in His precious name we pray and give thanks. Amen. Now, I've titled the message this evening, 2020, the Year in Review. You see those news programs, the Year in Review. Well, I'd like for us tonight to take a few moments to consider the year 2020, the Year in Review. Now, most of us will remember this year 2020 is a very stressful year, won't we? But you know, in 2020, just like every other year of our lives, we've said goodbye to some loved ones. We've said goodbye to some old friends that the Lord has called home. And just like every other year, we've said hello to some new friends. We've had some new babies born. Just at the very end of last year, Nova was born. During this year, baby Lynn was born. We're all still waiting to hold them, aren't we? Haven't been able to hold them. We've seen them. We've welcomed them into our family. Just like every other year, some folks have gotten sick, some have gotten well. Some have suffered loss, some have been given great material blessings. But most of all of us will remember 2020. This has been an unforgettable year, hasn't it? We'll remember this as the year we've had to deal with this pandemic that's caused us to lose so much, lose so many material blessings, lose so many fleshly comforts, lose time with loved ones and so forth. In this year, we've had to learn to do some things differently. Have you ever heard or thought of the phrase social distancing until this year? That's been a gift from 2020, social distancing. None of us ever thought about having to wear a mask in public as a way of life before 2020. We seldom thought of a show of affection towards our loved ones as a way that we might put them at risk like we have this year. And you know, with all of that stress, all of those hindrances, things that have changed, we will never forget, one thing has not changed. You already know this. The gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ has not been bound in the least. The gospel has still gone out, just like it always has, to save and to feed God's sheep. The worship of God has not been bound at all. Worship has still taken place from the heart. The order of service has changed, but worship hasn't changed. Worship is still taking place from the heart. God's sheep have remained faithful, and God has remained faithful to His people. And you know, that can be said of every year. Look here at verse 11 of Psalm 65. This is our text this evening. Thou crownest the year with Thy goodness, and Thy paths drop fatness. Now the word here translated with really is of. The Lord has crowned this year of His goodness. 2020 has just been like every other year. Since God created the world, 2020 has been the year of God's goodness. And that's true of every year. The word translated year here means a lifetime of years. It means just any measurement of time in the lifetime of our years. Just take any measurement of time and all the lifetime of our years, and we'll find that this, that God has been good. God has crowned those times with His goodness. Now, many of you may not think of 2020 as a good year, but you know, God has been good. In everything that God has done in this year, He has been good, even when we don't think so. We just don't see it as good. And all that means is we need to change the natural way that we think about things. What did the Lord say in Isaiah 55, verse 8? He said, my thoughts are not your thoughts. The way you think about things are not the way God thinks about things, not naturally. The Lord said, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways. So we don't think that these things are good, that God has crowned the year with goodness, with his goodness. All that means is we need to change the way we think about things. God has been good. He's crowned this year with his goodness, just like every other year. Now look at Romans chapter 8. Romans 8, 28. And I know pretty much everybody here listening can quote this verse, but I want you to turn to it and look at it. It does us good to look at these things, these passages of God's Word that are so familiar to us, and remember that these things are God's Word. Be reminded what God tells us here. Romans 8, verse 28. And we know. This is something we know. There's no doubt about this. We know that all things work together for good. To them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Now, that word all that Paul uses there means exactly what you think it means. It means all things. It means that nothing is excluded from this truth. It means that the Lord has sent us nothing but good this year. There were some things that were very painful to us this year, weren't they? But somehow, God worked those things together for good. You know, it's painful. You think about the things that happened to us this year that were painful. It's painful to be pruned, isn't it? But it makes us more fruitful. Those plants have to be pruned in order to be more fruitful. That's what God's done for his people. It may have been painful, but it worked together for good. There were things that came to us that were scary. There were things that came to us that were sad. But somehow, God worked them together to produce good. God has crowned this year with his goodness. Now, if you look in Psalm 103, I'll show you how God has crowned all of his people. Psalm 103. If you believe God, this is what how God has crowned you this year. Psalm 103 and verse 4. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction. Well, look up at verse 2. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, all your spiritual diseases, your spiritual wounds and bruises and putrefying sores, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. God has crowned, the word is covered. He has covered his people with his goodness. God has covered his people in salvation. God has covered his people in redeeming their souls from destruction by being condemned for them. God has done that for all of his people. He's crowned. He has completely covered his people with his loving kindness and his tender mercy. Completely covered. God hasn't left one part of his people hanging out to dry. He's completely covered his people with his loving kindness and his tender mercies. That's an eternal truth. It's true this year. It's true every year. God has crowned, covered his people with his loving kindness and his tender mercy. Now I want us, in the time we have left this evening, to review this year, to see this year, 2020 in review, and see five ways from our text that the Lord has crowned, covered this year with his goodness. Number one, back in Psalm 65, is this. God has crowned this year with his covenant mercies toward his people. Verse 1, Psalm 65. Praise waiteth for thee, O God, in Zion, and unto thee shall the vow be performed. Now, I've told you this several times throughout our study in the Psalms, that the one who performed his vow to God is the Lord Jesus Christ. He made a vow to his Father. And, you know, many people have made a vow unto God, haven't they? Oh, God, if you'll get me out of this, I'll do this, that, or the other. Or if you get me out of this, I'll never miss a service. If you get me out of this, I'll never do this, that, or the other again. And not one of those vows has ever been kept. The only one who has ever kept his vow to the Father is the Lord Jesus Christ. He performed the vow. In the covenant of grace, there was a vow made. There was a vow made between the Godhead. The Father vowed that he would save the people that he had chosen to save through the obedience and through the sacrifice of His Son, who would be made flesh and come and dwell among His people. And the Son vowed to become a man. He vowed to, in the flesh, obey the law for His people. And He vowed to be made sin for His people and to purge that sin away with the blood, the precious blood that He would shed as a willing sacrifice for the sin of His people. And at God's appointed time, the Lord Jesus Christ came in the flesh and He fulfilled all of that vow. He kept the law perfectly. In every jot, in every tittle, in every minute detail, He obeyed the law perfectly, both outwardly and inwardly, in action, in motive, and in heart. The Lord Jesus Christ kept the law perfectly, worked out a perfect obedience that He would give to His people. Now here's why all that is so important to us, that this salvation, this righteousness is ours through Christ our representative. Now I told you that the Lord Jesus Christ is the only one who fulfilled His vow to His Father. But you know all of God's elect have fulfilled their vow to their Father too. How did they do that? In Christ. In Christ our representative. When Christ obeyed the law, His people obeyed it too. In Christ our representative. And nothing will ever stop the Father from accepting those people because they're in Christ. They're perfect in Christ. There's no reason that the Father would ever reject them. He'll always accept them. In Christ, our representative. And you know, a lot of things have changed in this year 2020, haven't they? The way we do things, the way we think about things, a lot of things have changed, but God's covenant has not changed because God's covenant is eternal. In this year, 2020, people have changed the way that they've treated one another. But God hadn't changed. God's way of salvation hasn't changed. Salvation is still in God's covenant mercies in Christ Jesus, and that will never change. People have changed the way that they say they feel about one another. Division is rampant in our society, isn't it? Division is rampant. People's so-called love for one another has changed. But God's love, God's mercy, His loving kindness that He crowns, covers His people with, has not changed. God is still merciful to His people. And I tell you, that's a good thing. Because no matter what we do or we don't do, we can't do anything to deserve God's favor. Not one thing, can we? But the Lord Jesus Christ did. He earned God's favor by fulfilling His vow to the Father. The Lord Jesus Christ has ratified that covenant of grace, that vow made between the Godhead. Christ has ratified it, sealed it with His precious blood. So that now, nothing that happens, whether we think it's good or whether we happen to think it's bad, nothing that ever happens will change this truth. God's covenant has been sealed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And like I said, lots changed this year, hasn't it? But no one, this is something that has not changed. No one that God has promised to save has fallen out of God's covenant of mercies. Not one of them. God has covered them with His covenant mercies, and nothing that happens in the year can change that. That's the year in review. God's covenant has stood firm. All right, here's the second thing. God has crowned this year with His goodness by hearing the prayer of His people. Verse 2 says, O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. Now God said His ear is not heavy that it cannot hear. And that's still true. In this year 2020, with all the difficulties, with all the stress of this year, this has remained unchanged. God's ear is not heavy that it cannot hear. God hears the cries of His people. And it's a good thing because there's been many reasons for us to cry out to God in prayer this year, haven't they? But it's just like every year. Just like every, God has given us in every year many reasons to cry out to Him in prayer. God has heard our cries for mercy because He always does. God always hears the cry of a mercy beggar, and God delights to show mercy to the miserable. He delights in it. God has heard our cries for help. How many times have you cried for help this year? How many times have you cried out and begged God for grace sufficient for the trial that He sent you? That's God's promise to His people. We can always plead God's promise. If we beg and plead God's promise, he'll always hear. Because that's been his promise to his people, that he'll give them grace sufficient for the trial. God has heard the cries of his people. When we cry out to him for comfort of heart. We cry out to him for strength to endure, for strength to keep going, for strength to preserve, to persevere in the faith. God's heard our cries, hasn't he? And then, don't forget this, God has heard our cries of praise, and he's heard our cries of thanksgiving too. Oh, God's given us many reasons to cry out to him and beg him for mercy and help and comfort. And God has given us many, many, many reasons to cry out, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you. All of our prayers should include thanksgiving. Oh, how thankful. God's given us so many reasons to be thankful. And God has heard our cries of worship from the heart. Even though this year 2020 has caused us to have some changes in our order of service, worship hadn't changed. Worship hadn't changed. Because worship is not in ceremony. Worship is from the heart. Worship is always happens through the preaching of the gospel, through the preaching of Christ. Now the world has changed a great deal, but God still hears. He still hears the cries of his people. He still accepts the cries of worship from his people that comes from the heart. Because worship is a heart matter that always happens around the preaching of God's Son. Like I said, a lot has changed in this year 2020, but this hadn't changed. The message we're preaching still hadn't changed. We're still here, still preaching the same gospel, still worshiping God the same way, by worshiping him from the heart, worshiping him in Christ our Savior. And David makes an interesting statement here. I'm not exactly sure what he means, but he says, unto thee shall all flesh come. Now I know this. I know that all flesh will not come to God in saving faith. David could mean that there'll be a time that all people in the flesh will cry out to God. I would imagine in this pandemic, a lot more people have been crying out to God. But I know this from Scripture. I know this, that God will not hear the cries of all men. There are times God says, I will not hear you. But you who believe God, you take comfort in this. You take encouragement from this now. God always hears the cries of his people. God always hears the cries of his children. And God has given his children many reasons to cry out to him this year, hasn't he? Both for help, for comfort, for praise, for worship, for thanksgiving. God's given us many reasons to cry out to him. And God has always heard the cries of his people. That's this year in review. God's heard the cries of his people. Then here's the third thing. God has crowned this year with his goodness by purging the sin of his people away. Verse 3, Psalm 65. You got it? Iniquities prevail against me. We can't do anything about them. As for our transgressions, thou shalt purge them away. Now, I've already touched on this. Here's how God has purged the sin of his people away. By the Lord Jesus Christ fulfilling his vow. By fulfilling his vow, the Lord Jesus Christ has purged away the sin of his people by the blood of his sacrifice. God's people are always cleansed from their sin by being washed in the blood of Christ. God's people are saved. They're redeemed. They're cleansed by the sin-atoning blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And God has crowned, not just this year, but he's crowned his people from eternity by cleansing them in the blood of Christ. In the blood of Christ, the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. That's how God's people have always been cleansed. Now, God did that in eternity. In the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Now, you mark this down. Nothing that happens in time will ever change that. Nothing that happens in time will change God's eternal purpose. Matter of fact, everything that happens in time is God's eternal purpose. It's just God's eternal purpose unfolding before our eyes. Now, God cleansed his people. He atoned for the sin of his people in the blood of Christ, the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. That means that none of God's people ever did anything to purge our sin away. Nothing. Our iniquities have prevailed against us. We couldn't do anything to put them away. Now, you know that, don't you? You believe that. I know you believe that. You believe that. We didn't do anything to purge our sin away. Christ, our Savior, had to come in the flesh, and He had to purge our sin away. Now, you know that, don't you? You believe that. I know you do. Then take comfort in this. Nothing we did purged our sin away, and nothing we do will bring the same sin back upon us. Now, if Christ died for us, it won't. See, nothing that happens in this year, nothing that's happened in the lifetime of our years will ever cause one of God's elect to lose their cleansing in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that's the summary of this year in review. God hadn't yet lost one of His people. One of God's people has not yet lost their cleansing in the blood of Christ. And that means we can cry out to God in thanksgiving and praise and worship for that, can't we? God's cleansed His people in the blood of His Son. That's this year in the view. All right, here's the fourth thing. God has crowned this year with His goodness and His electing love for His people. Verse 4. Blessed is the man whom Thou choosest and causest to approach unto Thee, that he may dwell in Thy courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of Thy house, even of Thy holy temple. Now, Almighty God, before time began, chose, elected a people unto salvation. God the Father elected those people. Just because He would. Not because there was anything good found in them, because they were all sinful. They were all deserving of God's wrath. But just because He would, God chose a people to save. Just out of His goodness, His mercy, and His grace to His people. And nothing can be more plain to you if you read the Word of God honestly. God elected a people unto salvation. God's electing love is all through the Word of God. This truth, the doctrine of election, the doctrine of God's electing love, is the very foundation of all of God's salvation. That's where it all began. Salvation all began in the mind and purpose of God in His electing love for His people. And those people that God has elected unto salvation, every last one of them is going to be drawn to Christ. They're all, because that's what David said here, blessed is the man whom Thou choosest and causest to approach unto Thee. That's the same person. Everybody God chose unto salvation, God has caused them to approach unto Him. God has drawn them to Christ through the preaching of the gospel, through the preaching of Christ. This is what God has said to all of His people. I've loved thee with an everlasting love, an everlasting, electing love. Therefore, because of my love to thee, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. And God does that with His people every year. God this year has drawn more of His people to Himself, just like every other year. And all those people that God has drawn to Himself, God has kept them. He has kept them drawn to Himself. You know, being drawn to Christ isn't a one-time thing, is it? No, Peter said, to whom coming? We're constantly being drawn. Constantly coming to Christ, because God is constantly drawing us to His Son through the preaching of His Son. It's the preaching of Christ that reveals the glory of Christ, that reveals to me and to you that Christ is all we need. That keeps us being drawn to Christ through the preaching of Him. God has drawn His people to Himself, and He's kept His people close to Him. This year, just like every other year, the difficulties and stresses of this year have not changed that. Those people that God has chosen, that He has drawn to Christ, David says they dwell in God's courts. They dwell in Christ. They stay there because that's where God's put them. And you just think how tenderly God draws His people to Himself. How tenderly He draws His people to Himself by revealing Christ to their hearts. You know, even the conviction of sin is very painful to us, isn't it? But even that, even the painful conviction of our sin, seeing who and what we are by nature, all that is God tenderly drawing us to Christ, showing us our sin, showing us the vileness of our sin, so that we won't trust in those things, and we'll turn to trust Christ the Savior. Even that painful conviction of sin that causes so much sorrow is God tenderly drawing His people to Himself. And that's what makes the preaching of Christ so precious to God's people. It's hearing Christ preach, hearing the glory of his person that draws us to Christ, isn't it? And it's that same gospel. The hearing of Christ preached makes us content to stay in Christ, makes us content to have no other hope but Christ our Savior. David here says God's people will be satisfied in God's house. They'll be satisfied in God's holy temple. Well, that's not a place. That holy temple is not a place. It's a person. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. God's people are completely satisfied with Christ. Are you satisfied? Are you satisfied to have no other hope, to have no other plea than the Lord Jesus Christ, his blood, his righteousness? God's people are satisfied with Christ. And the Father satisfied with Christ too. And he's satisfied with all of his people in Christ. And nothing that ever happens in time, even in a stressful year like this one, nothing that ever happens in time will make God cast away the people that he has chosen and drawn to himself. Paul says, God going to cast away his people that he chose? God forbid. No, he's not going to do that. You know why he's not? Because he's satisfied with him in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. There have been a lot of changes in our society this year. There's been a lot of changes in the way we live our lives this year. But here's one thing that will never, ever, ever change. God will never cast away the people that he foreknew. God will never cast away a sinner that comes to him begging for mercy. You come to God begging for forgiveness of your sin. You come to God begging for salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ for Christ's sake. And this is what you'll find. You'll find it's true what the Savior said. I'll never cast them out. All those that come to me, he said, come to me begging for mercy. Come to me begging for forgiveness. I will never cast them out. That is this year, 2020, in review. All right, here's the fifth thing. God is crowned this year with his goodness by giving life to his sheep and by sustaining that life, by feeding his sheep. Now, verse 11, which was our text this evening. Thou crownest the year with thy goodness, and thy paths drop fatness. Now, if you want the year 2020 in review, here it is. And it's the same review for every year of our lifetime. God has crowned his people. He has covered his people with blessing by covering them with Christ. Two key words here. The first one is paths. That word paths means ruts. Ruts in the road that were made by a wooden wagon wheel. Well, God's paths is God's way. God's way is Christ. He's the way, the truth, and the life. God's people are put in the way, in the path, in the rut, and they can't get out of it because God won't let them depart from it. He won't let them depart from salvation in Christ. God has crowned, covered this year with his goodness by putting his people in Christ the way and not letting them get out of it. And then David says this, here's the other key word, is fatness. David says God's paths drop fatness. And again, that's being covered with Christ, being blessed in Christ. This word fatness means the ashes of the sacrifice. The ashes of the sacrifice. God's people are blessed in the sacrifice of Christ, in the burnt offering of Christ, where he was burnt up in God's wrath against the sin of his people. God's people are blessed in Christ and because of Christ, because of his sacrifice. All of the blessings that come to God's people come to us through the sacrifice of Christ. That's this year in review. God's people have life because God has dropped fatness upon us. He's dropped upon us the benefits of Christ's sacrifice. Just like grass grows in the pastures. You see these pastures all around the area. We don't have sheep pastures. We typically have cow pastures, but grass grows in those pastures. You know why? God sends rain and sunshine upon it, and that grass grows. Well, that's God's people. God's people have spiritual life because God drops fatness upon us. He drops the blessings of Christ's sacrifice upon us. Look at verse 12. These paths that drop fatness, they drop upon the pastures of the wilderness. They were just dry, barren, dead wilderness, but God drops the fatness of his past upon them, and that wilderness becomes a pasture. And the little hills rejoice on every side. Grass grows on a pasture because God causes rain and sunshine to fall upon it. Well, God's people grow because God drops the blessings of Christ's sacrifice upon us. He drops it on us from above. And God, when God drops this fatness of his ways upon his people, God makes sure his people drink it. The water that comes from above, the spiritual water, the water of life that God showers on his people from above, never is in vain. God makes sure his people drink when he waters them with this water from above. You know why? Because before God drops the water upon them, he makes his people thirsty. Look up here at verse 9. Thou visitest the earth and waterest it. Thou greatly enrichest it with the river of God, which is full of water. Thou preparest them corn when thou hast so provided for it. Now your center reference, if you've got the Cambridge here, says that thou visitest the earth after thou hast made it to desire rain. After God makes his people thirsty, after he makes his people desire rain, after he makes his people desire Christ, the living water, then God visits them. When he makes them thirsty, then he visits them with this water and blesses them and gives them life. God causes these pastures to grow for his people. And where are those pastures? Those pastures are the places where Christ is preached. This place right here where Christ is preached, that's a pasture for God's sheep. Look at verse 13. The pastures are clothed with flocks. The valleys also are covered over with corn. They shout for joy. They also sing. The pastures are clothed with flocks. God's sheep, they just gather all over the hill where there's grass to eat. Where there's grass to eat, that's where you find the sheep congregating. Well, that's God's sheep. They gather where Christ, the good shepherd, has put them. Christ, the good shepherd, has led them to a place where Christ is faithfully preached by one of his under-shepherds, and there God's sheep eat. The life that God has given them is fed and sustained through the preaching of Christ. See, God gives life by the preaching of Christ, and he sustains life by the preaching of Christ, by this fatness that drops in his paths, by all the benefits of Christ's sacrifice being applied to the hearts of God's people through the preaching of the gospel. So that is this year, 2020, in review for God's people. God has continued to give life to his people through the preaching of Christ. He has continued to sustain that life by feeding his people through the preaching of Christ. And no matter what else goes on in this world, whether we think it's good or whether we think it's bad, God's people are always being blessed through the benefits of Christ's sacrifice for us. Not by our works, but by God's grace, through the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it's Christ's sacrifice. That's what gives us life, isn't it? The only reason we live is because Christ died for us. And it's that same sacrifice that sustains our life. It's Christ being lifted up that continually draws us to God. It's Christ's sacrifice that continually keeps us staying close to God. It's Christ's sacrifice that keeps us coming back for more and more and more and more. It's Christ's sacrifice that keeps us worshiping God. And that's this year in review. That's this year, 2020, in review. And I'm thankful. I'm thankful for this year. I hope this will make you look at this stressful year of 2020 in a totally different light. God has crowned this year with his goodness. I don't know what 2021 holds. Got no idea what 2021 holds for all of us. Yet I do. Yet I do. I do know what the year 2021 holds for all of us. If the Lord tarries, 365 days from now, we're allowed to meet again. You know what we'll say about the year 2021 in review? We'll say, thou hast crowned the year with thy goodness, and thy paths have dropped fatness. That's what we'll say about it. Now, I want to wish all of you a very happy new year. Pray God will bless you. Pray that God will continue to drop fatness upon us in His ways. And He'll bless you. He'll keep us safe. And I hope soon in this year, it won't come as soon as we hope, but I hope soon in this year we'll be able to meet together with none of these restrictions and be able to worship in the way that we've grown accustomed over the years. But till that time, I do know this. God will continue to bless His Word, and I pray He'll bless you by it. Let's bow together in prayer. Our Father, oh, how we thank You for this Your Word, and how we thank You that You have crowned this year with Your goodness, and how thankful we are to know as we go into this next year that this next year will still be the same. It'll be Your year. It'll be the year of our Lord. The year that You've purposed for Your people, and that You'll crown it with Your goodness. And Father, we pray that You would continue to bless Your Word as it's preached here and in other places. Father, bless Your Word. Get much glory to Yourself in this coming year through the preaching of Your Word. Father, let this be a year we see You, by Your mercy and Your grace, reach Your mighty arm of power down among us and stir up the hearts of Your people. Call out Your sheep. Call those who, as of this moment, have not yet believed on You, that You might reach down and give them faith and repentance. Call them to the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, let this be a year where we see Your power in feeding and comforting and edifying Your sheep through the preaching of Your Word. Let this be a year where You reach down and move the hearts of Your people to care for one another, to watch out for one another, and help one another. Give us the grace and the wisdom to protect the unity of the saints, that we unified around this one cause, the glory of Christ our Savior. For it's in His precious name we pray and give thanks. Amen. I pray the Lord bless you and keep you.